the 98th Academy Awards ceremony will take place this evening at the Dolby Theatre in Hollywood. These awards, of course, more commonly known as the Oscars. In this awards ceremony, accolades will be presented for the major acting categories of Best Male in a Leading Role, Best Female in a Leading Role, Best Male in a Supporting Role, Best Female in a Supporting Role. And these are possibly considered to be the most prestigious awards in acting or cinema. In the first century, unsurprisingly, there was no cinema. But they were still acting, but of a very different kind to that which we're used to today. We are used to actors representing different characters in a film or a play. Yet in the first century, a drama had very few actors in it. And to represent the different characters, they wore different masks over their faces. The actors who wore these different masks were called hypocrites. And it is this language of hypocrites, of masked actors, of those who are pretending to be something that they're not, that Jesus brings to the fore in this passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And it can seem at first glance that this passage is about the spiritual disciplines of giving, praying, and fasting. And at one level, Jesus' words do teach us something about these practices. But at a more fundamental level, this passage is about something else. It's about how we approach such disciplines as followers of Jesus. Do we come to them with our mask of hypocrisy on? Looking as if we are doing the right things at the right times, approaching them in a way that makes everyone else see that we're doing something? Or are we content with practicing these disciplines privately, acknowledging that they are in truth practiced before an audience of one, God, and that this audience of one is sufficient to know the success or lack of success we have in seeing these disciplines flourish in our lives? So let's have a closer look at this passage and see what Jesus may be saying to us here. And it's the first verse of chapter 6 that sets the scene. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And the following 17 verses are all about how these words are applied. And there is a switch in the Sermon on the Mount from considering the ethical concerns of the previous verses to now focusing on some of the practices of religion. And these practices of religion, Jesus warns his disciples that they need to be careful not to express the wrong kind of righteousness. The right kind of righteousness is seeking to fulfill the will of God in your life and draw close to him as Father in a relationship of trust. But the wrong kind of righteousness involves doing things in a way that seeks to gain human approval. People who practice religion in these ways, Jesus calls hypocrites. Jesus says they're pretending that they're something they're not. And then Jesus gives three examples, giving, prayer, and fasting, which have the formula, don't be like the hypocrites. Essentially, don't do that, do this. Jesus begins with giving. And this is giving to those in need, which was an important part of the Jewish religious life. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, it says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land your Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed, freely lend them whatever they need. By the first century, there was a well-organized system through the synagogue for relief of the poor, which worked in a similar way to our welfare state. This, though, was funded in addition to the regular giving to the temple, mind you. Jesus warns here against seeking acclaim when you are giving. Do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do. Don't go blowing your own trumpet when you're giving to someone in need. Don't go, look at me, I'm giving this money to someone who's poor. I'm giving this person a sandwich. Look at me. Look at me, I'm giving someone a coffee who's in need. That's not what Jesus wants us to do as his disciples. Giving to those in need is not to be an excuse for self-advertisement of virtue. You're not to be a show-off, more concerned about letting others know what you're doing. This is the way of the hypocrite. In doing so, you would be wearing the mask of insincerity. And you'd be out of touch with that, the way that God's kingdom works. Jesus says you need to give secretly. So secretly that your left hand wouldn't know what your right hand was doing. Let alone anyone else know what you were doing. Turning next to prayer, Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Hypocrites love to be seen performing. Now, in the ancient Middle East, the norm was that prayers were said out loud, audibly on most occasions. So Jesus isn't saying that all prayer needs to be silent. What Jesus is saying is that you don't visibly need to engage in the performance of public prayer, be it in the synagogue or in public. Jesus also says that prayers can be simple. You don't have to babble like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Just as our giving is to be done in secret, so is much of our prayer life to be done in secret. Jesus says, go to a private place. The word here refers to the inner storeroom in a first century Palestinian house, basically a larder. Go to this secret place where you can encounter your Heavenly Father who's in on the secret with you. Because you know your God as Father, unlike the pagans, you don't need to dress up your prayers with elaborate words. You can pray simply to your Father, trusting him to provide for all your needs, with no need to badger as if he's a reluctant deity who's going to forget, fail to take notice of you. We don't need to demand God's attention through our prayers, be it in the method we pray or in its frequency. If we pray in an attitude of faith, with an attitude of trust, knowing that God is our Father, that is enough. And it's in these contexts that Matthew shares the words of the Lord's Prayer as an expression of simple trust and faith in God as Father. Then Jesus addresses fasting. And Jesus assumes that his disciples will at times fast. There was only one prescribed fast in the law, and that came as preparation for the Day of Atonement. But in the Old Testament, fasting was also mentioned on other occasions, usually around times of national repentance. However, in the centuries after return from exile, the Pharisees had adopted regular fast days, and so did later the disciples of John the Baptist. Yet Jesus probably isn't warning against this type of fasting, because it's not a routine fast when everyone knows that you're supposed to be doing it that Jesus is warning against. Jesus is talking of those who fast by choice in order to show off. And more than this, they look miserable whilst they're doing it, to make sure people know that they're suffering. So I don't know how many of you are fasting this morning. Jesus says, if you choose to fast, once again, do it in a way that maintains a level of secrecy. Do all you can to keep up your bodily care so as to disguise the signs of self-affliction, so that no one else will know what you're doing apart from your Father in heaven. Give, pray, fast. But don't be a hypocrite when you do. These are Jesus' words to his disciples then and Jesus' words to his disciples now. These are not words about corporate worship practices when we gather together as his church. These are words about personal spirituality. These are words, in essence, about how you do your relationship with God day by day. They're words about how you express your faith and trust in God the Father. Our attitude and disposition to giving, praying, fasting. Life, it seems, was a lot more public-facing in the first century. A lot more was played out in the public square. Certainly from Jesus' words, people's giving, praying and fasting was evident to others. Today, our practice of spiritual disciplines is often closeted away in that private sphere of our lives where no one except perhaps our kith and kin have an insight as to what we get up to. But it's not really what we get up to that's the issue at hand here in our reading. Giving to those in need, praying to your Father in heaven, even fasting, are all good and proper things that we can, as disciples of Jesus, do as expressions of our faith and devotion to God. The issue that Jesus is addressing is the attitude in which we do. And this was how Jesus was reflecting on those ethical concerns earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Anger, lust, lying, revenge. The outworkings matter, but we need to control. What we need to control is the attitude that it's founded upon. Why do we do what we do? When we give to others, why do we do it? When we pray to our Father in heaven, why do we do it? When or if we fast, why do we do it? Each of us will have a different way that we approach or do not approach our own practice of the spiritual disciplines in our lives. Those times we pray, read our Bible, fast, give to those in need, find silence and solitude. There is not and never has been a one-size-fits-all approach to them, despite what many have said over the centuries. We each need to find a way that helps us engage in faith and trust with our Heavenly Father. Today, many find the Lectio 365 app helpful. Some will follow Bible notes. Others will find that the wonder of God's creation is helpful. The method doesn't matter, only that we find a way that is meaningful and effective for us to see our relationship with God flourish. Find a way to be known and loved by God. Yet there are still some important lessons in Jesus' words here that can help us as we seek to come before God. Jesus shares the words of the Lord's Prayer here at this point in the Sermon on the Mount. He comes almost as an aside, interrupting the flow of his argument against hypocritical practices. Yet I don't think its placement is random. It fits well if we see the Lord's Prayer as not being a prayer that should be said by rote, without thought and consideration, which unfortunately it's become in many places, but instead view the Lord's Prayer as an example of a way that we can express simple trust and faith in our God as Father. Jesus contrasts this simple example of faith, prayer, with the florid and noisy prayers that he saw commonly practiced in his age, which were more about trying to twist God's arm into doing what you wanted him to do. Here Jesus sets a different tone, not only for prayer, but for our whole attitude to the spiritual disciplines. And this new tone is introduced in the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." After 2,000 years of addressing God as Father in the Christian tradition, we perhaps lost the sense of how radical it was for Jesus to have called God Father, or Abba, as it was in Aramaic. This was not a posh or formal term for father, but an everyday term, more like daddy or dad. I can't ever remember calling my dad father, for instance. There are, of course, those who will find it difficult to call God father because of their inadequacy of their own human fathers. And even though that was not my experience, I can understand how that might be an issue. And even more importantly, so does God. And I'm sure God doesn't worry if you can't come to express yourself to him in that way. But the key here is not really the term that's used, but the intimacy and the informality of it. This is no highfalutin term of reverence. This was everyday language used of the divine. What matters is the closeness of relationship that the word symbolizes. That we can come before God as his children. And the rest of the Lord's Prayer is very down to earth, even though it deals with big theological concepts. Bread, forgiveness, temptation, daily struggles, and the reality of being a disciple of Jesus. We're to pray about the life that we find before us in all its down-to-earthiness. I'm sure we've all heard or read prayers that sound as if they're designed to impress your way into God's kingdom. A secret code you need to say in order to unlock the door of heaven. But Jesus is saying here, keep it simple. We don't need to dress up our prayers when we are praying in the privacy of our own quiet time, morning prayer, cell, whatever we may call it. We might find the intimacy we are seeking in written prayers or shared liturgy or in the prayers that flow from the moment. But the attitude of heart we are to cultivate is like that of a child coming before a loving parent. The question this passage challenges us with is, where could we be being hypocritical in the practice of the spiritual disciplines? Where could we be pretending? Where could we be just going through the motions? Where could we be looking like we're doing the right things and so we get marked for attendance, but not being really present at all? It will be a question that challenges us all at times, I feel. I know it certainly challenges me. I do what I feel I should be doing, but am I doing it willingly and meaningfully? And that which can be applied to our prayer lives can be applied to our giving to those in need and to our fasting. We should examine our motives. Do we do it because it impresses others? Do we do it to impress God? Do we do it because we feel we should be doing it? Or do we do it because it expresses our love for neighbour, the one whom God loves? Do we fast so as to create space to God to work in our lives? Give, pray, fast. They're all good things that we can do in our lives of faith. Jesus doesn't say they're wrong. Yet Jesus, as he does all through the Sermon on the Mount, challenges us to examine the orientation of our hearts as to what we are doing. When we give, pray, or fast, are we doing so to show that we love our Father in heaven with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are we doing so to make us feel or look like we're doing the right thing? Are you a hypocrite when you give, pray, or fast? Or are you a child coming before your loving parents? Let's pray. God in Christ, come through your Spirit and challenge us today to live more fully, more really, as children of the living God. we come to sing our final song, which is Take My Life.